Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Beloved, God bless you wherever you are. May the hand of God reach you wherever you are in the mighty name of Jesus. This is your very own Reverend O.B. Bennett L. Bennett. It is a privilege to come your way one more time this Sunday during this perilous time. This is COVID-19 period. I give God praise for your life, for your children, for your family, for your business, wherever you are. I thank God for your life in Jesus' name. May the good Lord see you through and see through your life, your business, your family, in the name of Jesus. This week, we want to start a new series altogether. A series I've entitled The Backsliding Church or The Fallen Church and the Resurrected Christ. Trust me, I'm believing God that God is going to speak this word directly into your heart and it's for it to make an impact to the world through you in the name of Jesus. Beloved, I am believing God. But by the time this message is over, by the time this series is over, God would have used this message to make an impact into your life and you also extend that impact into the lives of many in the name of Jesus. Many a times there are things I say that it is meaningless to speak in tongues and be a believer without reaching out to souls and extending that level of impact you have received in the church wherever you are in the world in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to extend the impact all over the world, in your community, in your homes, in your schools, at your business, wherever you find yourself, the impact you are having from your church, your local church, wherever you are in the world, you can make an impact with that same thing. The little word that comes to you, you do your best to also extend that word to others around you, and God will see you through in Jesus' name. Beloved, wherever you are, I want you to bow down your heads whilst we ask and invite the Holy Spirit into our midst, whilst we are about to share the word of God. With your heads bowed down in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lala Leon, the Alpha and the Omega, the Omnipotent and Omniscient God. Oh, the Elohim. We give you praise, we give you glory. Abba Father, you are God. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are about to give out your word. We want to dish it out, O God, as food to the soul. That men may consume and be full. That their spirit may be lifted up and glorify your name. Father, let your word make an impact in the lives of every listener in the mighty name of Jesus. From time to time, from generations yet to be born, will hear your word and they will still be blessed. Your word never passes. It renews itself as time to time and from generation to generation. Oh, we give you praise. Our prayer is that as about you receive your word, prepare our hearts, let it be fertile in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive this word in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved, my name is Reverend O.B. Bennett L. Bennett. Wow. Wherever you are, I pray that the hand of God will cover you wherever you are in the mighty name of Jesus. Be blessed as we go through this word. A backsliding church and a resurrected Christ. A falling church and a resurrected Christ. Beloved, I want us to look at some two, three, four points to establish that the church is falling. The church has been falling. The church is still falling. And the church may fall. If we don't allow ourselves to go back to the first love of Jesus. If we don't call ourselves to order as a church, as the Christian body, as leadership, to allow the Holy Ghost to lead us, we may find ourselves in trouble going forward in future. Son of the heavens, daughter of God, I want us to begin to look at some of the reasons, some of the key points why we say the church is falling. And then we come with the resurrected Christ. So we can do a very wonderful comparison that God may be God. I want us to look at the first point. Using human systems to run the church of God in place of the Holy Spirit. Using human systems and philosophy to run the church of God in place of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, today the intellectual property of man is what we use to run the day-to-day administration of the church. The spiritual part of the church, we use our mind. The physical part of the church, we use our mind. I was thinking a balance would have done. There's a spiritual part to the church and the physical part to the church. If the systems could work for the physical and the Holy Spirit could work for the spiritual, I was thinking it would be a lovely move. However, it isn't so. The church is just using systems, both spiritual and physical. If the chance your faith is high and the Holy Spirit comes to your aid, praise the Lord. Let us go into scripture. Let us go into scripture and let's see what God is saying. Ezekiel chapter 14, the verse 3 to 5. Ezekiel chapter 14, the verse 3 to 5. Bible says that the Son of Man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Beloved, idols are anything we take extreme or excessive time to in place of God. Anything you spend more time with, anything you use most than reading your Bible, than spending time with the Holy Spirit, becomes an idol to you. The mobile phone is an idol to the Christian today. The mobile phone, yes, it's an idol to the Christian today. Now, I hear if a preacher comes to your church and preaches for you, there is a laid down percentage that the preacher must take away. All these things are idolized, so that when a preacher comes and you don't give the percentage, he's angry because their work they are doing is no more for God, for the Holy Spirit anymore, but they are doing the work and preaching because of the money. So there is no power of the Holy Ghost in the church anymore. Today, the church is all about money. So a pastor will give fake prophecies. Oh, 100 people are here. God says you bring 100 Ghana cedis and be a blessing. God didn't say anything anywhere. We can't judge that anyway. But the point is that you can see that the moment the monies begin to flow, that is where their joy is. May God remind our leaders, and may God remind us as men of God, and may God strengthen and straighten our hearts that we may please Him and please Him only and do what He has asked in Jesus' name. Beloved, God is asking. God is seeking. God is talking to us through His word. The Son of Man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. And Bible says that, should I be inquired of at all by them? God is asking, should men inquire of Him at all? Do men inquire of God at all in this dispensation and time? Do men inquire of Him? Do they seek His face before they do things in the church? The verse 4 says that, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. So today, the church deliberately puts systems in place. And so when the church realizes that the church people are getting fed up, they have been paying tithes, they have been paying offering, nothing is changing in their lives, then there is this need. All of a sudden, there is this crave for the prophetic in this dispensation. I agree that this dispensation is a dispensation of the prophetic. However, the word of God is enough prophecy to the church. If only the church would have inquired of God and do what the Lord is saying, there wouldn't have been a mad rush for the prophets and the prophetic. Hallelujah, somebody. This morning, I'm challenging everybody out there under the sound of my voice that may God touch your heart wherever you are as you hear me out. That you will seek the word of God. You seek God. Know God for yourself personally instead of knowing God through a prophet or his prophecies. This is not to say that prophets and prophecies are bad. We are in the dispensation of prophecy. So, of course, you need prophets to prophesy. But what I'm saying is that even though we are in the dispensation of prophets and prophecy, the greatest of the prophecy from a prophet is the word of God. May the word of God come alive in you this evening. May it come alive in you this morning. May it come alive in you this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, the account of Matthew in the scripture, the chapter 12, verse 40 and 41 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And the Bible says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Behold, beloved, a greater man, a greater preacher than Jonas is here. The Son of Man is arisen, and he is greater and mightier than John the Baptist. He is greater and mightier than you and I. He has brought us, you and I, salvation. And it is my dream, and it is my wish, that as you hear of the Son of Man, your heart will be moved to listen to him and as receive him in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, it is my prayer that the Holy Ghost will bring us conviction through his word, that we may seek God, we may inquire of God according to his word, instead of using our own intellects. Bible says, "By the arm of flesh shall no man prevail." If we use our arm of flesh, it is almost like iniquity unto us. Our intents and philosophies is not what guides the intents and philosophies of God. God is not a man that we may choose to play around with. But this morning, I acknowledge and admonish Christ to you, the risen Christ to you, that if only we will listen and hearken to his voice through his word, and allow his word to come alive into our lives, I am believing that a great thing will come to the church. The power of God will return to the church with speed and with great power in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, let's go to the second point. Is losing the first love of Christ is an evidence. It's an evidence of the fall of the church. Losing the first love of Christ is an evidence that the church is backsliding. Indeed, the church of God is backsliding. The kind of heart, the kind of love that the church used to have for God, for evangelism, for outreach is gone. The church doesn't go out there to win souls anymore. The church doesn't go out there to win souls anymore. The average church, all you see is a man of God poaching another church soul into his church. That is the order of the day. Somebody leaves Lifehouse to Christ Impact Ministries. Somebody leaves Christ Impact Ministries to Royal House. Somebody leaves the Presbyterian Church to the Methodist Church, and vice versa. But beloved, there's nothing bad and nothing wrong about that. However, my point is that the church is rotating its membership across board instead of winning more souls into the vineyard, instead of winning more souls into the fleet of Christ to depopulate hell and increase the kingdom of God. The very ideology behind God sending his beloved Son Jesus Christ, our senior brother and master, to earth to come and save you and I, is simply to depopulate hell and increase the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God may be an empire that will live from everlasting to everlasting. May God touch your heart through his word in the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says that in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. It's evidence today. The love of the church has waxed cold. The love of the church to preach the gospel, to talk about the risen Jesus,
has waxed gold. It is now a tradition, a system, and a culture for the church that it is only in Easter we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It is only in Easter we preach about the resurrection of Christ to the world. And every other thing goes to sleep until a year by this time. Beloved, may God challenge us and may God talk to us. May the word of God quicken our mortal bodies and may we go mad and crazy for Jesus. That in a day or two, if you don't speak to a soul, if you don't speak to an unbeliever to receive Jesus, you will not be, you cannot rest. You can't go to sleep in a day without knowing you have spoken the word of God to an unbeliever to come unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Losing the first love of Christ. The book of Revelation, John's Revelation chapter 2, the verse 4 to 5. John's Revelation chapter 2, the verse 4 to 5. Bible says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I have an issue against the church. I have an issue against the Christendom. I have an issue against the today's Christian, because they have left their first love. Look at the verse 5. It says, remember therefore from where thou art fallen. Remember where you have fallen, where you have backslidden as a church, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Libre antara masu balabre de hashibranta balibahatusa. Beloved, God is saying that we are the light of the world. The light on top of the candlestick. He said, we stand at a chance of losing that light. He will take the candlestick quickly. The word is quickly. Quickly. As the church is falling, the church is falling with speed and it's being ignited and it's being backed by the devil to cause the church to be lukewarm, to cause the church to be dormant, to cause the church to believe in their own philosophies and mindsets, resulting in the waxing of the love of Christ in the church. Beloved, he said he will come quickly and he will remove the candlestick out of his place, except to repent. This morning, may we repent in the mighty name of Jesus. Anybody listening to me through the sound of my voice, let it never be the voice of Reverend O.B. Bennett, but let it be the voice of Christ who is risen in the mighty name of Jesus. May the resurrected Christ visit you wherever you are. You are listening to me. May the power of resurrection come alive into your life and break every yoke and barrier, break every single barrier and pain, release you from every form of sickness and trauma in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, the same John's Revelation chapter 3 verse 15 and 16, Revelation 3 verse 15 and 16 says that, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that wet, cold or hot. I wish we were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Pasabrandi matos. Kebrendi brihantala masu balebrehantias. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us as a church. May God have mercy on us as a nation. May God have mercy on us as a Christendom. For we have backslidden and we have left his grace. He said he knows our works, that we are neither cold or hot. The church is no more cold or hot. We don't have a stance. Today, the average church is afraid to rebuke anybody who wears a puskeleke to church. Today, there's a philosophy and a doctrine of demons in the church that it is okay to allow somebody with a bareback to invade the church.
Oh, it's okay. That it's okay that somebody who is virtually naked can enter the church. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Recently, the Church of Pentecost also revised its systems and allowed people to wear trousers and all sorts of dresses to them because of the pressure that came from the world. The church is falling. The church is backsliding. Today, all over the news, you hear human rights activists, you see feminists all over the news, everywhere, you see them saying, a man cannot rape a woman because of the short dress she wears. How can a woman look attractive to you? She's not your girlfriend, how do you rape her? She's not your wife, how do you rape her? So rape being as a result of nakedness of women, as a result of unneeded or bad dressing, is now carried out as a no-no. It's not acceptable to society anymore. It's a church. It's all about the heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So church is all about the heart. It's not about what you wear. It's not about what you eat. It's not about what you do anymore. It's all about your heart. So we have all sort of haircuts. You have all sort of dressing, all sort of attitudes emanating in the church, or in the name of Christ sits in the heart, not outside the heart. May God have mercy on the church, and may the Spirit of God bring us back, that we may reconcile with Him in the mighty name of Jesus. God says that because we are lukewarm, we are not cold, we are not hot. He said He will spew us out of His mouth. He will spew us out of His mouth. Hey, beloved, for God to spew you out of His mouth. Ash. May God have mercy on the church in the mighty name of Jesus. The church has lost the first love of Jesus. That love that caused the church to be crazy. In those days, all you hear is the church is going to the northern region. The church is going to villages to propagate the gospel, to preach the gospel. This is not to say that it's not going, no. This is not saying, it's not to say it is not ongoing. God bless the Church of Pentecost. God bless the other churches all over the world. God bless Christ Impact Ministries for continuing to fight. God bless the other churches, Assemblies of God, Lighthouse Chapel to fight. But what I'm saying is that it is not enough. We have now made it a tradition and a system instead of pushing very hard to ensure that it's a daily event, not a yearly event. Beloved, I have very limited time. So let's hit another scripture. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 2 to 7. Bible says that, book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 2 to 7. The Bible says that, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy ex-spouse, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. I don't know whether you heard this one. Did you hear it? Is that after me? I remember when you had a lot of kindness as a youth. The love you had in you was so strong. When you went out, when we used to go out and after Christ in the wilderness,
in land that was not sown. Land that had not received Jesus. Places that there had not been any seed sowing of the word of God. Bible says Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, said the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. Thus said the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? What iniquity has the church found in God? That they are gone far away from him, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain. Beloved, the church of God has become vanity and walk in vain. All we look out for, you see a Christian walk into church, and the first thing they look out is the beauty of the edifice, the beauty of the decor, the beauty of the church. Ah, the church has a big auditorium. The church has beautiful cars, has many members. The fashion going on in the church, that is what the young believer is looking at. That's what the Christian is looking at. The church is crafting certain things that are ungodly, walking through vain and vanity. May God remember the church in the mighty name of Jesus. May God touch the heart of men of God. May God touch the heart of pastors. May God touch the heart of the children of Israel. May God touch the daughters of Zion. May God touch the hearts of the sons of the heavens. In the mighty name of Jesus. May God bring us to his glorious love. May God bring us to his glorious love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved, I want to quickly go to the third point. We bring today's teaching to an end until next week. The third point is Christians openly show themselves as Christians and believers. Let me put it right. Open Christianity, voodoo worshippers beneath. The third point. The falling church, the backsliding church. The church openly practices Christianity before the world, and yet practices voodooism, chant enchantments, juju, all sort of ungodly practices behind the scenes. Because of the two above points, using human systems and philosophies to run the church. As a result, the Holy Ghost is not present to heal and to work in the church any longer. Because the church has lost its first love, it is forced to pretend and to maintain that status quo as the body of Christ. And because the people are losing the love of God, they are losing the power of God in the church. Many of the leaders of the church today have run to the devil to take all manners of powers, all manner of demons to empower them, all manner of systems and voodooism to come and practice occultism in the house of God. Today, the church exchanges magic for the divinity of Christ. And this has gone down into the church so much so that the church members are now practicing voodooism and juju under, beneath the church. They will come to church and come and praise God. But when they go home, they have small witchcrafts. They have small voodooism. They are a part of occultic kingdoms and systems. Under their beds, you see all sorts of things under their beds. They say, this is to help me and protect me from the wiles and daggers of the devil. Where did you even go in the first place? Who gave it to you in the first place? How do you go to the devil to go and take protection against the devil? Wow! What a church! What a church! How do you go to the devil and say you are going to take protection from the devil against the devil? A kingdom divided against itself can never stand. So that you cannot go to the devil and say you are taking protection against the devil. You are one with him.
agents of destruction for the devil. You have lost your glory. Your light is not shining anymore. You are wailing in darkness. But this morning, but this afternoon, but this evening, I challenge you in the name of the Lord that as you hear this word of God, may God bring you back to his glorious light in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever you have as a Christian, as a church, whatever we have under our altars, whatever we have under our beds, may the power of the Holy Ghost locate it in the mighty name of Jesus. Let God break loose every demonic and evil altar, subduing the church of God under occultic influence and satanic manipulations, depopulating heaven and increasing hell. We reverse the system in the mighty name of Jesus.
2 Chronicles chapter 25, the verse 2. It says that, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He did that. That was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. We are talking about Amaziah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Beloved, this is what is ongoing in the church. This is what is ongoing in the church. This is what is ongoing in the church. People do things to seem right in the face of God, in front of the congregation, as a church, but their heart is polluted. Their heart belongs to something else. Beloved, let me prove this to you. Let's move to the verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 14. You just want to prove. See what verse 2 said? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He pretended. Today the church pretends. Watch something, the verse 14. Now it came to pass that after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomite. Now he brought the gods, little small g, the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bow down himself before them, and burn incense unto them. Did you hear that? He bowed down before the gods, and burned incense before them. He pretended to do things right in the sight of the Lord. But when God gave him victory, when he was coming, he picked the gods. I mean, can you imagine? He couldn't just fathom that he had a God who he couldn't see, nor feel or touch. I could hear him. He wanted something he could see, and that it was practical, tangible. He could see and pray to. Ignored and pretended as if he loved God. And Bible says that when God gave him victory, coming back after the slaughter of the Edomite, he picked their gods in Seir. He picked their gods, brought them back, worshipped it, not only worshipped it, but burnt incense to it. My God. Beloved, the pretense is too much in the church. Beloved, the pretense is too much in the church. The church is falling. The church is falling with speed. The church pretends to be righteous and pleasing God on the surface. But within the heart of the church, within the heart of the Christendom, they serve gods. Daughter of God, this takes us to the previous point. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I know thy works. God says he knows, he's the only person who knows the intent and purpose of their heart and the mind of humanity and the church. That we are neither hot nor cold. Because we pretend on the surface to be hot. But within us, in our closets, in our quiet time, in our homes, in our secrecy, at points of in camera, we are very cold.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will spew thee out of my mouth. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. May God not spew you out of his mouth. May God never spew you out of his mouth. If you have any voodoo under your bed, if you have any juju under your bed, if you have any sort, any form of unworthy gods under your bed, if somebody is deceiving you to take you to a very powerful spiritualist, a very powerful okonfu, beloved, I'm here to announce to you that okonfu is in Christ Yourself. There is no power in Okonfusim. There is no power in Buddhism. There is no power in the devil. The only person who can give you victory is victory through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The only person who can give you victory is the victory in which you gain through Christ Jesus. The victory you gain through Christ Jesus. The victory you gain through Christ Jesus. The victory you gain through Christ Jesus. This morning, this afternoon, this evening, may you gain victory. May you gain the victory of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. If only you can gather all these things and burn them. If only you can gather all these things and burn them, you will see the power of God. They can't do nothing to you. They have no power. They carry no power. They carry no power. Beloved, let's read our last scripture. I want to buttress my point by admonishing Christ, the risen Christ, to you as the solution to all these key points. Human systems running the church that has caused the church to lose their first love, that has caused people to have partial faith in God. And so they come to church as Christians and the church is as though it is there, but behind the scenes, people are worshiping idols. The book of Matthew chapter 28. Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, yea, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall he see him. Lo, I have told you. Listen to me, beloved. This scripture is an evidence Christ had risen. They did everything possible to bribe the guards. Bible says they were as though they were dead because out of the fear of the angel of God. And when they went to give the account, they were bribed to keep quiet and say otherwise. That is what is bringing the confusion all over the world, that there was nothing called Christ. Jesus Christ never came. Beloved, I'm here to announce to you that the reason Jesus really came, and he came to die for you and I. So tonight, this afternoon, this morning, let the word of God come alive in you. Let it come alive as Christ is risen unto us. I pray for you that let the resurrection power of God locate you wherever you are in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the resurrection power of God. Every single Christian, every single church all over the world, running with only human systems and ignoring the Holy Ghost, I admonish you this morning, that you, this afternoon, this evening, that you may repent of your ways and seek the Holy Ghost. Go on your knees and pray as a believer of God and seek the face of God in direction as to how the church should be gone, should go. Beloved, I believe and I admonish Christ to you, the risen Christ to you, that if you have lost your first love, if you have lost your faith in Christ, oh, may this word bring back the faith. Everything you seek for, may God give it to you in Jesus' name. If you seek something that does not exist, may the power of God create it for you in the mighty name of Jesus. The creative ability and power of God, may it create it for you in the mighty name of Jesus. May everything you seek and sought for come to pass in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you wherever you are. A backsliding church and a risen Christ. The church is falling, but repentance is here. Jesus is here. He has arisen. Let the resurrection power locate you wherever you are, and may you change your life for good. May Christ do you well, and may he bless you and keep you wherever you are, in Jesus' mighty name. Put your eyes upon the glory of God. Tomorrow is not about today. Look at what is ahead of you, your vision, and what you have at stake. And forget about your pain of today, because tomorrow it will be as though it was a dream unto you. May God see you through in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you so much. This is Christ Impact Ministry Tamale. Wherever you are, when you hear the sound of my voice, you can locate the church in Tunaili and come and worship with us. And God will see you show himself strong in your life in Jesus' mighty name. However, if you are hearing me from afar, look for a Bible-believing church. Look for a Bible-believing church who believe in the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost, the work of angels, the Bible, and worship with them. And be a serious Christian, and God will never leave you or forsake you in Jesus' mighty name. We'll see you next week for the second chapter 2 of this new series, The Backsliding Church and the Risen Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.
In the name of Jesus. Beloved, God bless you wherever you are. And I know your week has been awesome and has been beautiful. According to the prayer and according to the will of Jehovah, your life has been presided over by He Himself. His very large wings, like that of an eagle, has covered you and I and has caused us to be alive to share His word one more time. Oh, we give good praise to His name in the name of Jesus. Beloved, may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding be with you as we begin to share the word of God this week also. Probably you have forgotten, today is Sunday, the 3rd of May, 2020. The very first Sunday of the month of May. And my prayer is that as God has taken you through the month of April, even amidst this coronavirus pandemic, may that same God carry you through the month of May in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, wherever you are, listening to the sound of my voice, my name still remains Reverend Bennett Kwejo Odame Buafo. In other words, you can call me Reverend Elbenz. By the grace of God, I preside over the ministry, Christ Impact Ministries Worldwide, based in Tamale, with its headquarters in the United States of America, Florida. Today also, I am privileged and honored by God to share His word as His manservant to you who is listening to me right now, that our spirits may be lifted up together, that we may fight a good fight and run a good race, that our faith may be of high esteem, cherished and pleasant before the El Elyon. So without much time or much ado, I want us to start by sharing a short prayer. Wherever you are, with your heads bowed down, in the mood of prayer, let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, your son, your servant, I have no sense. I possess no understanding. I have no wisdom. But I'm consoled in one thing, that you are the source of wisdom. You are the source of knowledge. You are the epitome of understanding, O Lord. I run to you this day, that let, O God, your word that I share not be in short supply of your wisdom, not be in short supply of your knowledge, not be in short supply, O God, of your understanding. That as I speak, it will not be as though it is I who speaks, but it will be as though you, O God, have thundered your voice through your manservant to your people. That everyone who listens to me, O God, may be blessed. And that you speak to your life and bless them, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, we praise God. We thank God for another day. Another Sunday has come to us. Today is the first Sunday of the month of May. And we want to continue our series with other last month. The fallen church and the resurrected Christ. In other words, the backsliding church and the resurrected Christ. Beloved, wherever you are, probably last week you didn't catch up with us. I want to hit the points we spoke about, how we started this series or this message from last week and couldn't finish. We started by saying that the church of God is backslided. And by backsliding, we mean the church of God is falling. And is falling with speed. But we also say that we should not be dismayed, and that the resurrection of Christ after his death has brought you and I a new life. Oh, hallelujah. And we said, the church has fallen in many ways, or is falling in many ways. And one of them, we said, was the church has fallen through the human system that we operate. And we said that the church is practicing only the human philosophies and systems put in place in the church to govern the affairs and steer the affairs of men in the church. But the spiritual part of it, because I know ministry is governed by two S's, the spiritual S and the spiritual S and the strategy S. So man is using the strategy S, born out of human intellect and philosophy, and has left the spiritual S, which is born after the Holy Spirit. It is that we said it is troublesome and it's a problematic thing, and it's causing the church to fall with speed. Because a church that is not led by the Holy Spirit, but is led by the strategy of men, is on its way to doom. Again, we said the church has lost its first love. It has lost its first love. The church only wins souls on yearly basis, on quarterly basis, but annually, biannuals, doing their programs and conventions only, is when the church wins souls. But the Lord God has mandated us to win souls almost every day of our life. There's something I always say, that if you're a believer, you're a Christian, you are a church, a tongue-speaking one for that matter, and winning souls is not your priority, then I'm sorry, I don't know what you are doing as a believer. Beloved, finally, we spoke about a Christian who, before the eyes of men, seems to be a good Christian, a glowing Christian. Openly, they are as though they are Christians. But when you go under their beds and when they go home in their secrecy, they have voodoo spirits, mami water spirits, enchantments, malam power under their beds in the name of protection, in the name of power, in the name of protecting their children. All these things displease God, that we should not have any other idols or gods beside him. God hates us with passion. And so I prayed and I asked God, he himself, to help us and take us out of these things. Beloved, if you find yourself as part, as a church, as a community, as a Christian body, if we find ourselves as part of these three things that we have spoken about last week, my prayer is that God will come into your heart and God will speak to you and his word will come alive in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, today, it has pleased the Lord for me to come your way one more time to give you a refreshing word,
a new word from the bosom of Jehovah, a new word from the heavens itself and from God himself, that it will ignite you, it will enlighten you, it will bring you a lot of hope that you may press on in these bad times, that you may press on in these perilous times, that you may press on in this COVID-19 bad times and pandemic.
Beloved, we go straight to our first point for today. We are continuing to say that the church is falling, beloved, number one, because the church is not grounded in the word of God. The Christendom is not grounded in the word of God. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So in order for you to show yourself worthy of your Christianity, worthy as a church, we must study in all things. We need to study. God spoke to Joshua and said, this book of the law, he should meditate upon it. Never depart from it. He should always study. It is only through this that he will make his ways prosperous. In other ways, that he will make his way fruitful. Beloved, as a church, our ways can only be fruitful. Our works can be fruitful only when we have ourselves in the word of God, and the word of God have itself in us. In other words, when we are grounded in the word of God, we see our ways prosper. But this time and this era, the church has moved away from the word of God, especially the salvation message. All the church thinks about is the money, 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 and the souls, the souls, the souls. By soul, I only mean membership, plain membership, not soul as to win you souls per se. Child of God, Bible says even the God himself, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy, and the Holy Spirit, they joined Jesus Christ in his fast on the wilderness. And Bible says that when it was over, he now felt hunger after the 40 days. And Bible says that he became weak like every mortal being will be, because he came in the form of man. And Bible says the enemy was there also. The enemy was there also. And Bible says he tested him. And from all records, I don't need to waste your time on this, but as a reminder, a quick one for that matter, we all realize that Jesus, Yeshua Nazarene, was only able to overcome the devil at that time because the flesh was weak, but his spirit was high. And his spirit picked the word, which was he himself, and he spoke himself back to the devil. He spoke the word back to the devil. And Bible says that was the only reason and the only way he overcame the devil, because the devil also carries the word. Only he carries the word in a twisted version and a twisted form. That is why as a church and as a Christendom, if we do not understand, if we are not grounded in the word of God, and we do not understand the basis for the scripture, the devil will come with a twisted word and shove it on our faces and cause us to swindle and cause us to backslide from his main ways. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 7, the verse 26 and 27. The Bible says that, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Beloved, did you hear that? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, this word of mine, and doeth them not, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. I didn't say it. Unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Beloved, this is my emphasis. And great was the fall of it. Not only will your house come down, but it will come down with speed. It will come down quickly. Beloved, if the word of God is in you, your spiritual defenses will come down. It will break down, and to break down with speed. If you don't quote the word of God back to the devil or shove it at his face, beloved, your protection, your shield in Christ Jesus, which is the word of God for which you speak into activation, that covers you, that covers your family, that covers your life. It will break and it will come down, but it will come down in speed. Because if you're not grounded in the word of God, beloved, you are only in a quicksand. And when you are in a quicksand, it's a matter of time. You will sink and you will sink fast. And it's a camp of no return.
Beloved, may you come out of every quicksand. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you are backsliding as a church, as a body. Maybe we are backsliding. Beloved, let this be a reminder and let the word of God echo into our spirit being as a church. Because we are the church of God. Our body is the temple of God. And so let the word of God be echoed into your body wherever it is. Wherever you are, your body is the temple of God. Let that word of God echo into that body wherever you are. And let there be a renewal of your mind. And once there's a renewal of your mind, the word of God will begin to have stability and will stay in you in the mighty name of Jesus. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you will abide in me and I will abide in you, there's nothing you will pray for you won't have. He said, my sheep hears my voice and I hear my sheep's voice. How can a sheep bleat a man and the master will know what the sheep is bleating for? Bleating of a sheep, man, that doesn't necessarily mean that the sheep wants food all the time. Sometimes the sheep is in labor. Sometimes the sheep is looking for its young one. Sometimes the sheep is hungry. Only the master or the shepherd understand the sheep at every bleater because they have been with them for a long time. They abide in them and they abide in them. The sheep has confidence in the shepherd and the shepherd has confidence in the sheep. So anytime the shepherd is talking, the sheep understands. Anytime the sheep bleaters, the shepherd understands because there's a cord. Beloved, if your cord is broken, may God restore that cord as a church and as a Christendom in the mighty name of Jesus. May you hear the shepherd when he speaks. Now he may also hear you when you speak as a sheep in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray the word to abide in you. Even as Christ has resurrected, let him abide in you. Let the resurrection power come alive in you in the mighty name of Jesus. That you may do what is rightful. You study your word of God. You share your morning devotion, only not only with yourself, with the world, with your family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Be a good Christian and God, you will see the face of God strongly in your life. Again, number two. The church is falling through idleness and gossip. The church is falling or is backsliding through idleness and gossiping. I know. We'll go there. Child of God, this subject matter can be deliberated upon fully. There's a full message on this, but for the sake of what we are dealing with, we are going to break it down quickly and then we'll run. Beloved, idleness and gossiping has become the order of the day in the church of the 21st century and the Christian. Beloved, when people are looking for new opportunities, looking for new ways, identifying themselves through this pandemic period, where many are not going to work, where many has lost their businesses, many has lost their loved ones, people are trying to keep their cool, stay in their God, stay in their corner, redefine themselves, reignite themselves, see what is doable. Are there alternatives in business? Are there alternatives that I can work with? Are there new businesses and categories and systems that I can associate myself with to make life better for me? Others are busily, instead of doing these things, others are busily wandering about and gossiping, backbiting, saying all sorts of things they don't even know or understand. The most painful of all is that most gossipers, they are the definition of the word itself. When you see somebody who is a gossip, beloved, look at them very well. No matter what it is, Look at them very well. They are the very definition of the word gossip, because all they know how to do best is to talk about people for money. Probably they want to use gossiping as a career in order to make money.
Let's see what the word of God says, then we can expatiate more on this matter. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the verse number 12 and the verse number 13. And I read, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. They have cast off their first faith. 13 says, and with that, they learn to be idle, number one. Beloved, they learn to be idle. Okay, let's continue. I will come back to it. Wandering about from house to house. Oh, and not only idle, but thoughtless also. And busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. Wow. This is scripture. I'm not the one speaking. This is scripture. But the Bible says that they wither, they learn to be idle, and wither, they learn to be idle. Wandering about from house to house, they learn to be idle. Beloved, one of the things I always say is that if you are a very serious seamstress, and or you are a very serious hairdresser, if you are a very serious mechanic, at the point when there is no car to work on, at the point when there is nobody to do the hair, at the point when there's nobody, no cloth to sew, beloved, that is the time you need to take the bricks and pieces, the pieces of the fabrics in your place, and start making COVID-19 nose mask. Start trying new design, put them together, cut it into a dress. A new design, something you have seen, because you cannot use somebody's dress to practice your systems or your new design. And so, in the coolness of your day, when you are becoming idle or there's no work to do, you find work to do. Read your Bible, pray, sleep, find rest. Better still, explore new things and new territories in your career. As a hairdresser, there is this thing they use for training. The dummies they use for training, you can use those dummies. Though you are a madam, you can use those dummies to be training yourself in new designs you see on the internet. Day in and day out, new styles and designs pop up on the internet. You can go online, download them, and practice them where you are. When somebody sees the dummy and they like it, they can ask you to do it for them. And then, that thing, when you were practicing during your idle time, when you made use of your idle time, it will bear fruit by bringing you money. As a mechanic, as there is no car, you can begin to explore the body part of a car, the engine of a car, and how it works, just to refresh your mind about your school and refresh yourself about your notes. So that if, as the time goes on, you master in the craft, you master in your ability as a mechanic going forward. But instead, no. Some people have decided to use gossiping as a lifestyle, gossiping as a new career. They move about from house to house. Beloved, if you have work to do, would you wander about from house to house? If you have something to do, would you wander about from house to house? All I know is that some of us, men of God, we go to house to do door-to-door evangelism. Hey, so you, a queer man, sir, Abuna for sure, you are not doing house-to-house door evangelism. When the church asks you to go out there and preach the word and do door-to-door, you will say you are shy. You will say you are tired. I didn't come early. All sort of flimsy excuses. But when it comes to gossiping, beloved, you will see the church. You will see even among men of God. The church, the body of Christ, have time to gossip about each other, to gossip about their brothers, anytime, any day, idling about. Beloved, God says you are a busybody. You are a tattler. You speak things which they ought not. In other words, some of the things they say may be true, but they ought not to say them. Why? The devil finds work for the idol worshiper. Beloved, listen to me carefully. The devil finds work for the idol worshiper.
Idleness is one of the keys the devil operates through in the church, in the 21st church today. So anybody who finds him or herself idle at every given point in time and not even resting the body they have in their own houses by wondering about saying things they ought not to say, and 80% of the things they go out there to gossip about are lies. Heartbreaking lies. Unnecessary lies. Lies that can cause people to die. Lies that can break homes. Lies that can break churches. Lies that can break families. Lies that can break friendship.
Beloved, I'm here as a humble servant of Jehovah to announce to you that if you are finding yourself, or you found yourself in this situation of wondering about, tattling and gossiping, saying things you ought not to say, lying about your friends, your beloved, your friends, your brothers, somebody has entrusted you with a secret of theirs, and all you can do is to go out there and spread it. If you were saying the thing as it was, it wouldn't have been painful. But you exaggerate and you say things that I'm not supposed to say. The person finds out and is heartbroken. And because of you, a member is lost in a church. You talk too much. Beloved, I quite remember not too long ago, I had a friend, a pastor friend. We agreed to help each other and support each other. I said, okay, I must be faithful to my word as a man of God, as I'm faithful unto God. So we went to his program, spent 2 days. I served as though I was rather his boy, but I was senior to him in ministry. But doesn't matter. We are servants of the Most High. We are not senior to, we may be senior to somebody in ministry, but it is only God we look up to, the author and finisher of our faith. Beloved, a time came when it was time for my program also. And this friend of mine didn't show up the first day. Second day he came and he spent 30 minutes and he left. And that was it. I didn't hear from him again to this very day as I speak to you. But listen to me. The most painful part of the whole thing is that you meet him and he tells you that, oh, he has a member who says the person knows me, and yet will not tell you who the member is, the name, or what they know you about. So in other words, you could sense that he and the person who is claiming that is a member have gossiped about me negatively. And instead of confronting the person and telling the person that, oh, this is a man of God you are talking about, be very careful. The dangers of it, even though as a man of God, Krampuno, as a normal human being, you could destroy his reputation and hard build career. And instead of calling me and calling the person so that the person can say what the person said to him in front of me to prove that the person is like telling the truth or lying, he didn't do it. But rather chose to believe the person and rather, as a man of God, go against his colleague, man of God. Are we into competition? Are we having a competition? What is wrong with us as a church? What is wrong with us as a body of Christ? Where are we going to? Even to the extent that the devil has found a way of making even pastors, shepherds, partake in this gossiping spree, this backbiting spree. Why? Can't we as a church be faithful and loyal to ourselves? So we can even say that, oh, because we are faithful and loyal to ourselves, we can be faithful and loyal to Jehovah God. You show so much love to people, pastors, people, churches, people. And all they do is to stab you at your back. The little information they get about you, about your business, about your marriage, about your church, about your life, they take it and turn it upside down, exaggerate and lie, and say all sorts of things against you at your back. These are the same people who come to your house and come and eat your food.
They take money from you. They take pleasantries from you. They take the love of God from you. And all they do is to go out there and shove it into your back. And all they do is to gossip badly and negatively about you to the world. How would the church, the world believe the church today if we behave this way? If we keep on lambasting each other, backbiting each other, and gossiping about each other, where are we going to go? Beloved, I pray for you, and I pray for all of us, that as the word of God has come, I am taking my part. Please take your part. Please don't find yourself idle, because it is an idleness that you find yourself gossiping about your brother. The time you are using to gossip about your brother, my sister, my brother out there, the pastor out there listening to me, please find something tangible to do. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Draw up a new plan. Look for a new business to do. A new business venture. If you don't have businesses, I can volunteer business ventures for you. Barbering saloons. Beauty shops. Yes. Provision shops. Things you can do with ease. If you like self, you can even sell pork. You can do a pizza joint. Find something to do. Invest your time into in things that will make you grow and become better. Studies have shown that people who gossip spend most of their time gossiping. So, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, beloved, where are you going to find yourself? Where will you see yourself? You will realize that all the friends you work with, some have gotten married, some have gotten new business employment, some have gotten promotions, some are doing very well, and you are where you are. Even the little you have, you will lose it out of the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous will heap coal upon your head, and you will see yourself struggling and being stagnant in life, and nothing will work for you, and you are still gossiping. After all the gossip, what has happened to you? What has changed in your life? My God. Beloved, it is my prayer that God will speak to his church, that God will speak to his children, that the daughter of Zion listen to me wherever you are, that the son of the heavens listen to me wherever you are. May the God of Israel, who created you and I and brought us to his glorious light, who died and arose on the third day and ascended into the heavens, onto the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and has become a lawyer unto you and I, interceding for you and I on a daily basis. Oh, may he have mercy on you. May you have mercy on me. May he have mercy on the church and forgive us our trespasses. But as you have heard this sound, as you have heard this word of God, may it resonate in your inner body. May it resonate in your temple. May it resonate in your mortal bodies and quicken it in the mighty name of Jesus unto repentance, that you may do what is needful of you to please your maker and maker alone. If you don't have anything doing, beloved, spend time with your family. Travel to your family wherever they are and spend good time with them, thinking about the progress of the family. It is better off than idling about and gossiping. Let's end this particular point. Let's read the book of Timothy, second book of Timothy, chapter 2, the verse 16. And it says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Oh my God. Shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Vain babbling, profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Ah, do you understand? It means people who practice gossip. People who are idlers and they go wandering about, tattling and gossiping about their fellow man, about men of God. Men of God gossiping and hurting and backstabbing their colleague men of God. Little do you know that you have lost your ways as a church, as a leader of your ministry. You are leading the church of God astray. The flock God has entrusted into your hands, you are leading them astray. Why? You are walking on the path of unrighteousness, the path of ungodliness, and so are you taking your members along us too. Beloved, Bible says that as you keep on gossiping, as you keep on tattling, as you keep on wandering about, saying all sorts of unnecessary things, Bible says you increase your level of ungodliness. Oh my God. May God have mercy on us as a church. May God have mercy on us as a people in the mighty name of Jesus. May God touch your hearts wherever you are. And may God see you through in Jesus' name. Finally, one of the things that hurt me the most is in Psalm 55. He said, if it was an enemy who was pursuing me. David said, if it was an enemy, at least if you are having a court case, if you are having
a land litigation, if you are having an issue with somebody who you deem as an enemy, somebody you don't know from anywhere is your enemy, and you are fighting the person, it's laudable, it's understandable. At least you can meet your enemies and dodge. Yeah? At least you can meet people you don't like or dislike or have issues with and dodge them. Or excuse yourself wherever they are. But when it becomes your family members, your bosom friends, people you are tutoring, people you are mentoring, people who mentor you, people you look up to, people you love with your heart, and you show them so much love, and all they do is to stab you at the back. They come to you smiling and laughing and dining with your family. And when they go out there, all they do is to talk evil about your marriage. All they do is to talk evil about you. As if their husbands, as if their marriages are the best on the planet. Meanwhile, the things they talk about, they are 10 times worse off it. They talk as if they are better, but they are worse off the things they talk about. Gossiping about people who have showed you love. Don't you know you're cursing yourself? Don't you know you are heaping coals of fire upon your head? Because even if they don't pray against you or even curse you, which I don't ask anybody to do that, but when they pray and they use the scripture and leave the matter unto God, you have God to contend with. Let us repent. Church, let's repent. People, let's repent. Change your ways. When somebody shows you love, show the person love. Be loyal to friendship. It is the friendship and loyalty to the friendship of Jonathan and David that saw the son of Jonathan being lifted up from his shame and doing his time. And David brought him to his palace and he continued as a royal. Friendship and loyalty. But today, people are betraying friendship. Enmity. May God have mercy on us as a church. In the mighty name of Jesus. The church is falling and it's falling fast. May the resurrected Christ, may his blood, may his name, may the anointing upon him break yokes and barriers over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you have found yourself in such a situation, may God bring you out in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three, the third point is that refusing to receive correction and rebuke. Refusing to receive correction and rebuke. Beloved, again, because of where God has taken the church to over the years, because where God has lifted the church up to over the years, men of God and the church as a whole are practicing this self-righteousness thing. One of the things I always say is that before I'm a man of God, I'm a man, a mortal being. Flesh and blood. What does it mean? It means that even though I'm half spirit, half man, the man in me, which has a soul in it, has flaws and deficiency. And so, that is why the Bible says that the righteousness of a man is like a filthy rag before God. It is only the righteousness of God that makes us whole and perfected before the El Elyon. What is this? As if because we are men of God, as if we are Christians, so you don't have no sin. We are full of sin. Even the lie you lied the other day, do you remember? It is a sin. The gossip is a sin. Don't you know? The self-righteousness, the all-knowing thing, is too much. And God is speaking to us as a church, and as a people, and as a nation of God, that we should repent from our ways, because the church is falling. The Christendom is falling. The believer is falling fast in his grace. We are nothing without God. We are nobodies without God. Humble yourself. Beloved, let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 15, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. Bible says that correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall surely die. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Anybody who leaves the way and path of God, backsliding and falling, correction is grievous unto that person. And he that hateth reproof, rebuke, reproof, shall die. May God have mercy upon us. May God turn his back, not against us. And he have mercy upon us all the time. May Jesus intervene on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. That none of us will die premature before our time. But we will hearken unto the voice of the Lord and repent our ways from self-righteousness and repent from our ways from all sort of all-knowing attitudes. That God will have mercy on us and humble us. Bible says those who lift up themselves, God will bring them down. But those who humble themselves, God will uplift them. May you be humble that God may lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, you see my colleague pastors, even though we are lesser gods, they take their own very personal. You will see a man of God and it's difficult for his members to even approach him. You see a man of God and his colleague, man of God, it's very difficult to even approach him. Who are you? The fact that you came to Tamale early and you took the opportunity that came to you very seriously and God has blessed you. Have you forgotten it's the same God that blessed you? Who were you 7 years ago? Who were you 8 years ago? Who knew you 8 years ago? So if God has put you where you are, it only means that you need to be humble. There are men of God who are senior to you in ministry. There are men of God who you are senior to in ministry, but in the realms of the spirit, carry more authority than you do before the elderly on. It's a matter of time for God to bring them to a high place, a place of authority and a place of position that the world will see. The light of a believer will never be dampened or quenched. As long as he sticks to the path of Christ, his light will shine. He will be the salt of the world in the name of Jesus. It is very sad, church. When you see a man of God and your colleague man of God, you can't even approach him. The kind of face they will give you, the attitude, and they say, pastoral ethics. Pastoral what? Excuse me, who are you? Who do you think you are? Because of what? God gives you a little fame and you lift yourself above? Little do we know that as we are lifting up ourselves, thinking we are bigger than people because we have 2,000 members, 3,000 members, 1,000 members, we have no respect for people we don't know who are upcoming ministers. Little do we know, people have done the ministry of God long before you even thought of even starting ministry. But because you have gotten the head start, you think the whole world belongs to you. And any good thing must come to you only. Self-righteousness. May God have mercy on all of us.
May God have mercy on us, beloved. The book of Job, the chapter 33, the verse 9 and 10. Book of Job 33, verse 9 and 10, it says, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counted me for his enemy. Listen. All we say is that we are pure because we are men of God. We are pure because we are the church. And we despise the Muslims. And we despise the traditionalists. We despise others, seeing them as ungodly people. Some of us, even if a Muslim gives you food, you will not eat because you find it ungodly. He's not a righteous person. Self-righteousness. God told Peter, who are you to call something I have created unclean? Who are you?
May God have mercy on you and us, you and I, in the mighty name of Jesus. And may he have mercy on us all, on our children, on our family, our marriage, our finances, and our businesses, in the mighty name of Jesus. May God take us out of these things and self-righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. From today, may you receive rebuke. From today, may you receive correction. May we come to each other for rebuke and correction, that the church of God will grow. The pastor rebukes and counsels his members. Who rebukes a pastor and counsels a pastor? We must form a certain system where a pastor can confine the senior man. A pastor can confine his colleague pastor. And they share ideas together and correct each other and rebuke each other and show each other counsel and love. That they may grow together as a body of Christ and not to compete among ourselves and think who is superior to the other. May God forgive us in Jesus' mighty name. Finally, beloved, I want to talk about the resurrected Christ.
Our last and final point, the risen Jesus, the resurrected Christ. We are taking our text from the book of Matthew, the chapter 12, the verse number 40, and also the book of Matthew chapter 28, the whole of that chapter. But we want to start with the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, and look at the resurrected Christ. If you can sing this song, sing with me. Oh, sorry. Frank Karim, oh, sorry, Frank Karim, Zawudi Yesudia, oh, sorry, Na wo benya nkwa. Efi yo wo aminem. Se wo ji Yesu dia. Ye 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 ube sorry. Na wo benya nkwa. Ye efi yo wo aminem. Oh, sorry, Frank Karim. Jesus, hey, oh, sorry, Frank Karim. Sabuji, Jesus, dia. Oh, sorry, now, oh, ben, yan, kwa. Every, oh,
praise the Lord. Beloved, if you believe in Jesus, you will rise again with him. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, the flag of victory is waving at you. It doesn't matter where you have gotten to in life. If you can hear me, it is time to turn back to Christ Jesus, to come unto him that lived and died and arose, that on the third day, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Nazarene, is awaiting you. His resurrection power is awaiting you to fill you up unto greatness in the mighty name of Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 24, the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. It says that, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus died 3 days, 3 nights and buried. And yet Bible says he arose. He arose. He arose unto salvation. And today you and I are saved because of the salvation of Christ. Because of his death and resurrection. My admonishment to us as a church and to as a people is that may we hear the voice of God calling us today. And may we heed to his call in the mighty name of Jesus. He has risen. The Lord has risen. May we repent in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My last advice is that as Christ has risen, from that very day, he gave us 24 gold hours. A full day has 24 hours in it. And each other is a gold bar full of life and mystery. It is up to you to uncover the mystery and the life in it and work yourself out to the glory of God. To find the purpose God has given to you through his blood. To find out the purpose of God has given to you through his resurrection, through his power. And walk in that purpose and life and be great. Every hour is gold. Don't throw it away. Don't gossip with it. Don't idle about with it. Don't refuse rebuke with it. Don't refuse correction with it. Don't walk about without reading a word without it. Rather, may you esteem yourself in the word of God. And may you not be idle, but work towards your greatness. And every gold bar will be yours. If you work very hard, 5 years from now, every seriousness in your life, if you work very hard, 8 hours a day, 5 years from now, even if you're not a millionaire, you'll be sound financially in life. Why won't you do that instead of gossiping? Why will you not rather work hard and gain all the 24 gold bars in a day, make good use of it, and then in 5-10 years to come, people will call you blessed of the Lord. May the church repent. May we stop the backbiting and the lambasting. May we stop all these evil deeds of ours. They are all ungodly. They will not help us. May God help us. I pray for you as a church. I pray for you as a manservant of God, humbled in his word. And I ask that God himself will show us mercy as a church. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. I thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Peace.